You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey, I'm Brett.
And I'm Steven.
And we are
the Broadway Husbands.
We're just your all-American married couple making their living in the arts and pursuing a growing family. On the Broadway Husbands podcast, we offer advice from our ordinary lives under extraordinary circumstances.
We are living proof that you can love who you love and love what you do. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss our weekly episodes. And if you really love us, make sure you leave a review on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. Take a screenshot and tag us on Instagram at Broadway Husbands.
Members of our Patreon get exclusive access to behind-the-scenes videos, blogs, and other perks, including free apparel and so much more. To become part of our Patreon family, go to patreon.com/Broadway Husbands.
Okay, I'm
we're like freaking out.
I've either had too much coffee.
Yeah, I've had a lot of coffee, but our guests today are kind of like the most inspirational people in our lives lately. Like, they don't even know us, but we see them constantly, probably at least 5 times a day. I'll like check out, like, what have they done and what are they doing today?
And I think I've probably even said, like, Steven, can't you be more like Kelly's husband and learn how to edit? Like, I need you to edit this stuff.
Please welcome to the podcast
Kelly Erdman, also known as Happy Kelly, and her husband Freeman Butler. Hi guys, welcome.
Hi, thanks. We're excited to be here.
Thanks for having us.
I'm serious. I think I literally have said to Steven a few times, maybe you need to have a session with Freeman and like learn how to edit.
he seriously has said that. And but honestly, you guys, thank you so much for being here today. We've had like a lot of guests on our show throughout, what has it been, like
it's
a year
been
and a
over
half
a year and
it's
a
been
half.
Over a year, and we've had a lot of guests, but honestly, you guys, when we finally got this in the calendar, I've been most excited about this.
Wow.
Because in case you guys have been sleeping under a rock or you don't look at social media, or
as much as we do,
and maybe just I don't know how you could look at social media and not know who they are, but this is Kellidactyl and her husband, who create the most amazing content, and they just bring joy, creativity, and light to the world on a daily basis.
It's true.
Yeah. Ooh, it's really true.
Thanks, guys. So sweet. You're so nice.
Keep going. This is nice. I like this beginning.
Wait, okay, so I think a lot of people know Kelly kind of as the face of like what you guys do, but I think that most people, because Freeman's like behind the camera and doing so much of the editing, mm-hmm. and I think the way you edit, Freeman, shows how much you love your wife. I'm just going to say that. It just really shows that you have such affection for her. Tell us a little bit about who you are individually. Like, mm-hmm. Before we talk about how you met, and like,
yeah. And sometimes it's more fun if you guys introduce each other.
Okay.
Ooh, okay, yeah, I like that.
Do you want to go first?
Sure. I don't know if Kelly needs an introduction, but Kelly, sweet Kelly, she is from Marysville, Washington. It's like a small town outside of Seattle. She has 3 siblings.
Oh, you're like really going into the details.
Yeah, I mean, these are the things people want to know. Kelly's just like the nicest person. What you see online is like exactly who she is. We try to keep everything as genuine to who she actually is so that she doesn't have to like put on a face. I mean, she's not always happy. She's not always happy, Kelly.
Yeah. But
Kelly's just great. We're not getting there yet. Kelly has a prolific background in dance. She has been dancing professionally for like 11 years. Maybe 10 years. I don't know.
Yeah, around there.
Somewhere around there. And she has appeared in Wicked on Broadway and on the national tour. She has been in TV shows, movies, etc., commercials. And when the pandemic hit, she started posting stuff on TikTok.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
This is the best person.
Oh, you're nice. Okay, so
Kelly, tell us about Freeman. Yeah,
this is Freeman. He is from Palmdale, California. So we're kind of back toward. We live near where he grew up, which is kind of fun. He currently is in law school at UCLA. So during all of this madness, he's also been juggling online law school. He's about to graduate at the end of the month. So that's super exciting. But yeah, he studied finance in his undergrad. There's no arts background at all. he did a little bit of videography for the sports teams, like at his undergrad. So that's how he has like basic knowledge of editing and whatnot. But yeah, since we've been in the pandemic, he took up video editing, learning on his own, and has been doing that while doing law school. And he is the best too. I love it. I like that word's so cheesy.
We love each other.
That's okay. We love each other too. We've been married 10 years and we always say that. I'm like, I can't believe we still really love each other. It feels like, yeah, so it's good. How did you guys meet? When was the first time you met or saw each other?
Yeah. Do you want to go or?
Yeah, I can tell the story. or the first part of the story. You can fill in any details. Okay. So we matched on a dating app, which is getting more normal, but we're still a little embarrassed by it. I was living in Salt Lake City, Utah. She was living in New York City. She was in Wicked at the time. And we just had our settings on like unlimited, I guess.
Yeah.
And we matched. And then a couple months later, we didn't really talk that much. But then
yeah, we like chatted a little bit, but not really.
A couple months later, I was going to visit my best friend that was working in New York. And it was like, oh, yeah, there's that Kelly girl in New York. Maybe we should meet up. And we
meanwhile, I'm like hoping that we're going to meet up. I'm like texting him like, hey, like you're in town, right? And like, and he's just like not responding because he's like with his friends. And I'm like, like, hopefully we can meet up after my show in whatever. Anyways. Yeah. And then like also I like even so this is kind of a side note, but. What the day we actually met up, we were meeting up after my show and he hadn't texted back. And so, and it's like, you know, like 11 PM on a Friday night. And I'm just kind of wandering Times Square, just trying to like waste time, just hoping he texts me back. I like went into some stores, like hoping he would text me and he did, but anyways, continue.
I eventually texted back, but, yeah. So we actually met in person for the first time. It happened to be my birthday. I was on a birthday weekend trip.
With friends.
And we met in Times Square on my birthday and it was so romantic.
It wasn't really romantic when we met.
We were friends.
Yeah. What time of year? Was it hot or cold? Like what was the weather?
It was February, so it was cold.
Yeah, it was pretty cold.
But not too
bad.
But
it wasn't like a blizzarding night or anything like that. Yeah. But we still like we've been back to New York a few times and we go back to like the little tile in Times Square that we met
right
on
by the statue, by the stairs, you know, I don't know what it's called.
Duffy Square.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to tell them the next part. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, we're going.
Well, just tell about like a little bit more.
Okay. What was your conversation like?
Yeah, I want to hear it.
What was the first couple things you talked about?
What was the first couple things we talked about?
I don't
really
know. That night, we didn't really... I mean, like, we just all chatted and hung out, but then...
Mm-hmm. Just, like, joking with friends.
Yeah. Yeah, but then after we, like, went our separate ways, we, like, texted, and he's like, oh, we should get breakfast tomorrow. And so, I was like, because he was only in town for, like, 2 days, so I was like, yeah. And so, our first, like, official date was, like, the next morning at brunch.
Yeah, but I was like an hour and a half late to brunch, which was terrible, but Kelly waited and she was kind.
It sounds like I was like really desperate.
Did you have a matinee?
I did. But it sounds like I was really desperate, but like it wasn't that. Like normally it was weird because normally I would just be like, oh, this guy's not responding, blow him off, whatever, like move on. But there was like something inside of me that was like, man, like you really need to like meet this guy and like spend some time with him. So like it wasn't like desperation. It was like, no, something feels different. And so mm-hmm. So I had a matinee that day and well, two shows. And so I had like woken up early, gotten ready for brunch and I had a two show day. So I was like, so when he was late, cause he slept in, I was like, I'm going to wait because I'm ready. I'm going to get at least some breakfast out of this. Like what else am I going to do? So I ended up waiting for him. And
wait, where did you eat breakfast? I'm just picturing the stage door at the Gershwin. Like where did you go?
We went to Jacob's Pickle.
In his defense,
it was my first time in New York. We had flown the red eye the night before and we had drawn.
It was your birthday weekend.
I was exhausted, so my alarm went off but I just didn't wake up for it, and I didn't know that Manhattan was hard to travel in. Like, you can't go from, like, I was staying in like the financial district and had to go
on the
weekends.
Way up to, yeah, forget it. Yeah.
And like the subway station was down as they always are. Anyway,
yeah, like, yeah, construction. So
I woke up and ran in like my sweats that I had slept in.
Yeah, he didn't shower.
Kelly still fell in love. That was great. She's very forgiving.
It worked out.
What did you think, Freeman, like meeting a girl who's dancing on Broadway? Was there like a bit of a glamour to it for you? Or like, how did you, what was from an outsider Salt Lake City, California boy point of view, what did it look like?
Yeah. I thought it was really, really cool. So I had never been to a Broadway show or never, like, I didn't grow up going to theater at all. If you met my parents, you'd think it was funny if they ever went to theater. Like, they're just not really into like music theater and that sort of thing. So I didn't really like know how impressive it was. I had some idea, like, yeah, she's dancing on Broadway. That's amazing. But I think I didn't really like internalize how impressive and how cool that was until, I mean, one of our first dates, she took me like backstage at the Gershwin, and that was really cool. And I was like, oh wow, this is like amazing. Like, you're actually like really, really talented. And then I saw Wicked, and then I saw it like five more times and was starstruck. And
did you see it that first weekend that you were visiting, or did you wait?
No, he saw Phantom.
I went to see Phantom. Phantom was a lot cheaper, and I didn't know that like Kelly and I would like start dating or anything. So.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
And so then, you know, you connected in real life. Mm-hmm. And then from then on, was it just kind of like you just kept the conversation going and you guys kind of knew that you were in love right away? Is that what happened? Or
yeah, kind of. It was, I mean, pretty much, yeah, from then on, we were FaceTiming like 2 hours every day. And then like he like planned a trip back to New York to visit a law school that he was maybe going to go to. And so he had planned that like in a month or something, but then I was like, no, like I want to see him sooner. And so I ended up buying like a last minute flight on, for like a Sunday. I only had a Sunday matinee. So I flew out right after my matinee on a Sunday to Utah, got there at like midnight, was there Monday, flew back Tuesday morning to do the show.
I've actually done that, flown to Salt Lake City.
Really?
After a matinee on Sunday from Wicked. Remember,
yeah,
to see my friend
and
Kate.
You got so sick too. He was like, so sick afterwards. I was like, oh my God,
it's rough. You need more sleep.
Yeah,
it's rough. But we ended up doing that. I ended up doing that quite a few times because, yeah. And he came and visited a lot and we did long distance.
How long did you do Wicked? How long were you on Broadway?
Yeah, I did it for just a year. I was covering a maternity leave. So like I just came out, did it for the year and then that was it. Yeah.
And then you went back to the tour or how long did you do the tour?
No. So I did the tour for like 16 months. Like I had done it. I can't even remember what year it was. I did it. And then came back to LA, was in LA for a year. And then they called me to come out to New York for the maternity leave. And then after that was over, we got married and came back to LA.
Wow. So how long were you dating virtually before you got married?
Yeah.
This is the question we were hoping you wouldn't ask.
No, we were kind of wild. We were crazy. We met
February 23rd,
and got married August 8th.
No. Of the same year.
August 4th. Oh my gosh.
Of the same year, though, right?
Of the same year, yeah.
Of the same year. It was fast.
Wow. So you knew. Yeah. So you knew.
Yeah.
You knew.
It was pretty
obvious. But that's awesome.
Really. Yeah. Very early on, we like it was different and just was so, felt so right. And yeah, we knew.
Yeah. I love that. That is so cool.
That is cool.
Like, did you? I mean, I'm sure it helped knowing that like you're based out of LA, mm-hmm. like he's from California. So mm-hmm. you could kind of envision yourselves making that work, right?
Yeah, yeah, totally. Like, and because I moved to LA in 2010. So I'd been here for a long time. So it was like home to me. And he had offers at different law schools. Like, and because we were dating, he was like, okay, I'm either going to go to New York or LA. And LA ended up working out. And so, yeah, we ended up back here.
And now how long have you been married? What year are you coming up on?
We're coming up on 3 years.
Yay.
Congratulations.
That's awesome.
So, Kelly, I want to talk to you about what, growing up in the state of Washington, mm-hmm. did you just always dance? Like, did you start dancing from a young age and that's like all you did and that was your passion? And just talk a little bit about your upbringing and your dance training.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's basically what I did. I started dancing, like taking classes when I was 5 at like the local studio. Mm-hmm. And then as I started to get older, we learned about competitions when I was like around mm-hmm. 8. So I started competing. And then my mom, when we went to the competition, she kind of realized, oh, there's like so much more, because, you know, it was a smallish town. And mm-hmm. so she realized and we realized that, you know, I needed more technical background. So we ended up going to a ballet studio for a little bit. That was a little bit of a commute. So it was a little more of a sacrifice, but my mom was amazing and willing to, you know, make the drive, make it happen. Luckily I was the youngest and most of my siblings were much older, so we had the flexibility there. My mom was an angel. And so I ended up going to like this local studio as well as ballet school for a little bit, you know, did the Nutcracker a couple times, which was fun. Mm-hmm. And then the ballet school wanted me there, you know, six days a week. And I loved like jazz and contemporary and lyrical and stuff like that. So I didn't want to make that jump. So then we ended up going, commuting to a studio in Seattle called Westlake Dance Center. And so I did kind of the ballet, or I guess at that point I mostly just trained at Westlake, until eventually joining their like performing group kind of competition company. And
this point you're a teenager.
At this point I'm a teenager. Yeah. Training at Westlake, and the teacher there, it was kind of more of a studio that was based like a drop-in studio. So you could take any class, and then there was like a performing group based out of it. So the focus was more on training rather than like getting your dance competition dances perfect. And, you know, cause that's mm-hmm. kind of what all I did was just practice the dances before. And now I was working on training, and, my teacher, Kirsten Cooper, she lived in LA, so she had a lot of connections. So she would bring in people from LA, like Mandy Moore would come teach us, and, Marianne Lamb. I don't know if you know her. She like, mm-hmm. you know, just yeah. worked with like the Fosse stuff. She's from Washington. Yeah. So she would come teach us a lot. And so I had lots of great opportunities there. And then my teacher actually took me to LA for the first time when I was probably like 15. And I got to go take class at Edge and see what it was all about. And that's when I really like was like, oh, like maybe I could do this for a living. And I learned about the Edge scholarship program. And when I was like a teenager at this new studio, when I realized like, oh, I could actually maybe make this a career.
What talk about your early career aspirations. Was Broadway like something that you aspired to do? Was that kind of like on your radar, or was it TV, film, commercial dance? And how did you navigate that decision to make those things happen?
Yeah, totally. So Broadway was never actually on my radar because I had never been to New York. I had seen like, you know, a few shows that came through Seattle here and there. I had seen Wicked in Seattle, which was fun, but in like 2009, but it wasn't on my radar just because I didn't really think it was possible, to be honest. Like I was like, I didn't imagine that I could do something like that, which I mean, maybe it's selling myself short, but I had never thought of it. So I was more focused on like commercial dance, TV and film stuff. So when I started auditioning, that was kind of my focus, doing commercials and things like that. And then they auditioned for Wicked in LA. And also I sing, but I'm not like the most amazing singer.
That was going to be one of my questions. Yeah, talk about your singing. Yeah. We'll get there.
So Wicked came to audition in LA. And I think I had auditioned a few times, over the years, and you know, like got put on like a list of like, oh, like potential, we could maybe hire you if there's ever an opening. But eventually there was an opening. And so they had like a call back with like a few of us to come in for the tour. And, you know, I came in, did all the dance, did the partnering and sang and my song.
Yeah. Talk about it. So what were your 16 bars?
My 16 bars were, Part of Your World from The Little Mermaid.
Nice.
And you
that's
know,
sweet.
It was, yeah, that was all I had, semi-prepared. And so we made it work. And I always just say it was good enough. Because then like a few hours later, I got a call that they were offering me the contract for the tour. And it was like mind blowing. Like, what is happening? Like, this is crazy. Yeah. And so that's, and then I did that. It was great.
I think Steven's first Broadway show he booked by singing
Happy Birthday.
Happy Birthday.
Really? So, yeah. Say that. Yeah. Okay. That's amazing.
But wait, I have an even funnier one. I have a friend who auditioned for Phantom, who was a great dancer also, but she sang Santa Baby in July and she booked it.
Oh my goodness, that's incredible. Wow.
So that's good. So yeah, part of your world. That's a good one. I love that. I like that. Yeah.
Let's go to.
Yeah.
So okay. So we're kind of to this, and you've, of course, you now you've done a lot of musicals like Hairspray Live and
just really those two.
Oh, is it just those two? Really?
Yeah, I mean, I did like
small
like pantos. You know what pantos are?
Oh, yeah. You did the Lithgow family,
yes. But really, that's the only, those are the only musicals I've done. Kind of crazy.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's interesting to me, because I just see your content now. So we're kind of like at this stage now, like, oh, talk about this last year. So were you on TikTok before the pandemic?
No, we weren't.
No. So
we kind of looked at it like,
how did, you know?
Yeah, we were like, TikTok lame, or I don't know, but totally. We were so wrong, obviously.
But talk about like the, cause I feel like, First off, when we come to LA, hopefully we can do some dances together, because I really want to do something. Because I just, you've done a reel or a TikTok with every single person on this planet who dances on any reel or TikTok. And talk about how I can't imagine the demand you're getting and probably requests you're getting to make content, but what was the evolution of that? Like, what was the first thing that went viral and you were like, holy crap?
Yeah. Do you want to talk for a minute? I've been talking a lot. You start. You start.
All right. I think the first thing that went viral, I guess.
So maybe talk about why we joined, or I guess.
Before that, talk about the first step. Like, you were like, we're in the pandemic. We're shut down. Let's make some stuff.
Yeah. Did you always do it together?
Yeah.
I guess I had nothing to do because the Hollywood shut down. So I had a lot of free time.
Yeah. And school went virtual, like, before the pandemic like started, like a couple weeks, and then they switched everything to pass fail, so all of a sudden I didn't have to study as much, so we kind of just like sat around. We watched Tiger King like everyone did the first couple weeks.
We had a lot of time.
We just watched a lot of Netflix, and we're like, we feel terrible, we can only do YouTube workouts for so long, let's find something to like fill our time. So we got a free trial of an editing software and just started like, or we saw a video that we really liked that was like stickers of heads and like attaches to your faces. And it was this really funny kid.
Yeah, you need to teach Steven how to do that. Anyway, go ahead.
Stop, Brett. Stop interrupting them.
We can have a little powwow session. So we saw that video and we're like, wait, this is cool. And I was like, I had a little bit of video editing background and I was like, I think I could figure out how to do it. So I looked up a tutorial. Like, let's just make this video. Let's kill an afternoon so we don't have to just be watching TV all day.
Yeah.
So we did it, and then we posted it. And then the next morning, like, we had 12 followers.
We, like, made a TikTok that day.
We posted it on my TikTok. It was, like, free man butt was my handle. So that's, like, the original Happy Kelly handle is free man butt. And the next morning it had, like, what, like, 200,000 views?
Yeah. Like, wait. They're like, whoa.
I thought, like, just my close like 10 followers were gonna see it, and we had like thousands of followers.
Yeah, we didn't know how TikTok worked.
We're like, wait, what? And everyone's just talking about Kelly's butt, and I'm just like, this is so weird. Like, what?
Because it was a very wholesome video, but I start facing the back, and there was all these comments, and I was like, what the? This is weird.
Some creeps on there.
But yeah, then it like just kept growing and like hit 2 million views.
Yeah.
And so right away we were like, whoa, we gotta make another video because this is fun.
Yeah.
So how fast did you do it the next day, or like how fast was your next
day that you did it? I think it took, so I was like really just learning how to do video effects. So,
and we were doing it on my super old laptop that was very slow. Yeah. So it took forever to edit anything.
Editing took like 12 hours at least. So I think our next video came out a couple days later.
Or maybe maybe the next week.
Maybe the next week. Yeah. But it wasn't too long after that. And then the next video, I thought it was a better video. And I think everyone goes through this on TikTok, like, wow, that worked. So I'm going to do it, but like even more. And then it doesn't do as well. And I was like it still killed it. Like it got like 100,000 views or something like that. But I was like so disappointed. I was like, oh, it's not going to get 2 million views every single time. Like a realization. So that was like our first big hit.
Was our first video.
Our initial goal was to be able to just pay for
the editing software.
The editing software and to cover our costs on that.
Then if we can afford to like keep the editing software by making TikToks, like
that was like our big worry that we weren't going to be able to get like $15 a month. Yeah. And I didn't want
to like pay for that. We were like, we can't be paying for an editing software.
As a poor law student.
The industry shut down.
What am I going to do?
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Oh my gosh, that's kind of, we were quarantined in the East Village for the first 2 weeks. And of course, similarly, I was like, Steven, let's just like go get out of the apartment. Let's go dance in Tompkins Square Park. And we did like a dance to La Vie Boheme from Rent because we were in the East Village, right? Yeah. And so that got so much, like, I don't think it hit 2 million views, but like,
no, it didn't have 2
million. But we were like, well, this is interesting. Like, it, similarly, it was like, oh, TikTok is interesting. Yeah. Like, yeah, so I totally get that. But then when did you?
Well, wait, I have another question. Ahead, so, because I was just thinking, so even early on when we would make dances together, we tend to not always get along. I'll just say that, right? Mm-hmm. So how do you navigate your relationship while collaborating as artists? How is that?
We can talk about this one.
Gosh. Yeah. That's a great question. So it's funny because, you know, for some reason, like you would think I wouldn't get stage fright because I'm a dancer, I perform or whatever. But it's been really interesting creating content with Freeman, like, who's my husband. It like weirdly, I get stage fright. And sometimes I have to make him like go to the other room when I'm filming, even because I'm like, for some reason, so shy. It's weird. So we have that aspect, but it's getting better. We're working on it. I think a lot of times too, as a dancer, you're told a lot, like, especially like on commercial sets or things like that, they tell you what to do and you do it. And so it's been very interesting to like be the one creating it, because then I have to make decisions and I'm not that used to that as a dancer, because normally you just do what you're told.
Totally.
And so it's been a very new kind of thing for me to like be creating, because I'm like, just tell me what to do, Freeman, and I'll do it, type of thing.
Right.
Yeah. But it is collaborative. Yeah.
There's also like the aspect of like compartmentalizing our like romantic relationship and then our work relationship, because we're working all the time, and it sometimes can be easy to like treat each other like coworkers. So
yeah, sometimes I'm like, we're just like in business mode. We haven't like cuddled in a while. This is weird. Yeah. It's really strange. It's very new.
So that's another struggle. But as far as like creatively, we have such different strengths. Like I don't dance. I'll sometimes help choreograph.
Yeah, he actually he has moves.
A move is funny, but I don't.
That's
any like
everyone can dance.
Well, so wait. So I would. Well, that was my next question. So Freeman, are there days when you're like, you know what I think we should do? I think it should like go this, and you're like that. You know, you're like kind of doing the shape, and she's like, okay, like this. Is it that kind of thing? Like where you're kind of like, I picture this, and then she does it, and then is that well, kind of a way?
I want to hear about your strategy just because you're trying to like your goal is what to get two out a day. I mean, or one a day. Yeah. Like yeah. What's
how
your
do you do it?
Strategy?
We just kind of work hard.
Yeah. We don't have So especially at the beginning, we were like, Freeman would have like an idea for like an editing concept. And so then he'd be like, okay, I have this idea. Like, how can we make it work? And then he would be so excited about it that we'd have to like make it immediately. And then we would make it and then he would post it. Like, and that was it. And so then it was like, okay, now we have to do it again. Like, yeah. And he just gets so excited because Freeman is really good at this and like has really great ideas and it's so exciting. And then he just gets so excited that he just like, he has to do it. He can't do anything else until we've done it. And it's really cute.
I've become a mad.
That's
I've
awesome.
I've become obsessed with an idea. Like yesterday I was editing for 6 hours because I was like, I have to get this done.
Yeah. And it was like, no, it wasn't a deadline. There was no deadline. But like in his mind, he's like, I love this idea. I have to do it now. And but so nowadays, we just kind of, what would you say? I guess we don't really have a strategy. It's kind of similar.
Our process is kind of like, I'll think of a fun edit or I'll see a fun edit and think of a way to incorporate it into either a trend or a song that we really like.
Yeah.
And then we make a new dance to the song.
No, sometimes, no, you guys don't make a new dance. You guys make the trend. That's what you do.
But sometimes, so a couple times, like, I don't know if you've seen our video where it's like, there's like people walking. They're like walking to the beat of Be My Lover by LaBouche. And then they like step back, forward, and then back. So that was actually my choreography, which I'm very proud of. That's what I'm talking about.
He had the vision. Right, he had the vision.
Thank you. I mean, it's not really choreography.
It's walking forward and backwards.
But
it's choreography.
I like woke up one morning and just had that song in my mind. And I stood up at the foot of our bed while Kelly was like waking up and just started doing that dance because I thought it was funny. I'm like, wait, let's make this like a thing. So that's kind of like one of our go-tos and like just random inspiration here and there is kind of.
Yeah. Getting inspired from other people's videos or other trends and how we can make them our own or add something different to them. Or honestly, Freeman just like has these ideas and I'm like, what? Like, I'm like going to sleep and he's like, okay, I just had a really good idea. And I'm like, asleep, like, oh, can you tell me in the morning? He just like has to tell me right then.
I'm an obnoxious Instagram husband. Honestly.
And people are like, and people will comment like, oh man, I feel so bad for you. You have to be always filming your wife, and he's like the one that's obsessed with it.
But I feel like something like really hit with the dance that you and is it Kasha?
Uh-huh.
That you did I mean that was the one that like to me was like who's this person and I was like catching up on all the stuff that you guys had made. Was that the video that you felt like all of a sudden you were like, holy crap, I'm getting bombarded by requests and things? Talk about that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that dance, I mean, the video blew up and then all these other site or like Instagram accounts were reposting it. So everyone was seeing it. I don't know everyone, but like people were seeing it in a lot of different places. And so it was really blowing up. But yeah, that one was a dance that I had seen on TikTok. And these two guys, they're in this K-pop group called Izu's. Or Easy Uzi, I guess we always call it Easy Uzi, but I think it's Easy Uzi. And we gave them credit, you know, all the dance, but everyone, because our video is the one that blew up, everyone's like, oh, you created this dance. It's your dance. And I was like, it's not though. Like, and I felt bad because I'm like, I want theirs to blow up but that's just not how
they originated.
Yeah, but that's just not how TikTok goes.
But also, was the editing
yeah, that was different.
That was the Kelly, super zoom,
Kelly
right?
Did that edit,
I did that edit myself. Yeah, so it's just like a face tracking edit. Mm-hmm. We did like in an editing program outside of the app. But yes, that really added to the video for sure. And that's kind of where we started using that. Or did we use that before, that editing style? We used it a little bit, but yeah, I edited that one myself. So that was really exciting.
Bravo.
Well, job well done. Because I think after I saw that, I obsessively was trying to figure out how to do the editing face tracking thing. And then I just got frustrated because I would have to like leave my computer to do other things. Uh-huh. And then I would just be like, I can't do this right now. So I just never figured it out. But yeah.
So is this, would you say this is like your full-time job now?
Yes. It's crazy.
Yeah, definitely.
It takes up so much time. And yeah, the demand. I mean, it's crazy like having to keep up with posting videos constantly, which it, like, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. It really is. But it's fun, but it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
How do you stay motivated? I mean, because honestly, you don't have to if you don't want to, but it feels like you do because it is your, it has become a business, right? So how do you stay motivated when you're not like showing up at the stage door and signing in, you know?
That's a really good question. How do we stay motivated?
Kelly, let me just say one cool thing about Kelly. Kelly's like the most like hardworking person I know. She like, if she's not being productive, like the pandemic was
rough,
really rough. That's why we started making videos, because it's like Kelly needs something to do in order to like
feel fulfilled.
Yeah, to feel fulfilled. And she wants to be like, like making other people's lives better, and constantly needs to be like involved in like a good cause, I guess. So I think it kind of comes from within for Kelly. She's like a very motivated, productive person. And when she's not, she is not happy. She's not happy, Kelly. She's unhappy, Kelly.
Yeah. And, so, and Freeman, I think the motivation for Freeman is he just loves, genuinely enjoys it so much. He gets so much joy out of like learning a new editing skill or creating something. That's his motivation.
It's nice to be creative when you're in law school.
Yeah.
Just leave it at that.
I was going to say, yeah, you're reading a lot of stuff. So like to not have to learn and like create, it sounds. And what are your, do you have like boundaries at all on like days that you work or the times that you work? Do you guys have like a deal in your relationship where you're like, you know what? It's 10 PM. We're done. Or it's Sunday. We're not doing this today. Yeah. Like what is that conversation?
Yeah.
And how do you,
when we first started, it was tricky because it was more just kind of for fun. And I would not be in the mood, and Freeman would be like, okay, can we make a video? And I was like, not expecting it. Like, you know, just kind of like, wait, what? And so we kind of gotten better at just planning out our week. And so I know what to expect. Like, we know what to expect. Like, okay, we're going to we're going to film this content on this day type of thing. So I think planning, like having a schedule and like talking about it, like the Sunday before, is really helpful. And then we also try our best to take Sundays off. But sometimes deadlines get in the way for like other content sponsored for sponsored stuff. Yeah. Stuff like that. But yeah, I think, and I've gotten better because I'm a people pleaser. So, you know, Freeman would be like, oh, let's do this. And I'd be like, I don't want to, but I would do it. And I've gotten better at being like, okay, actually, like, can we wait till tomorrow? Things like that. Just working on our communication skills.
Yeah, it's been great for our like, relationship.
Seriously.
Communication skills.
Yeah, we've learned a lot and grown a lot in that aspect of like being like, actually, I'm not into it right now. And the other person has to be, you know, being understanding and stuff like that.
What are your hopes? Are you hopeful that you move like away from social media and then like have your own, like not platform, but like own channel or own show? Or is that like your next step?
What do you think, Freeman? I don't know.
That's a really good
question. It's a good question because we talk about like what does this look like in the future? Yeah. How does this?
Yeah.
I think at this point, it's just like working on growing our audience is important.
And just like making stuff that makes people happy.
Yeah.
It's like always our main
goal. Always the main goal. Yeah. It's doing stuff to like spread joy, spread light. Cause you know, it's wonderful getting comments and messages from people that say, you know, like, I look forward to your videos every day. Like they've really helped me through the pandemic. Like seriously, like it means so much. And so seeing that, that's the main goal. But yeah, I mean, in the future, who knows? kind of open to whatever happens.
I think that Kelly would be amazing in like a Blue's Clues type show.
Children's show.
Right? Yeah. So your faces are telling me that you agree. Yeah. She would be amazing in like a children's show, like maybe a dance themed children's show on Nickelodeon or something like that. I think Kelly'd be awesome at that. But that's just like a pipe dream. Who knows?
Yeah,
there's such a bubble. There's such a joy about what you do.
And, yeah, there really is. And it's clear that when you dance, dancing makes you happy.
Yeah.
And you like make everyone happy that sees your videos, I'm sure. So thank you for doing it.
Yeah. You guys are thanks amazing. For watching.
Yeah, when we do our dance videos, you know, there's days where we, like you were saying, like we don't want to do it, like physically don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. But when you do it, it's better to save it so that when you do want to do it, that joy is like so evident. And I feel like I see that in your content as well.
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay. So how many videos are you going to make today?
No, just kidding.
That's your question. I mean, it's morning, so we've got the whole day ahead of us.
You got the whole day.
We'll probably make one, maybe two.
Maybe two.
Yeah.
All right. I can't wait to see them. And please feel free to we will recreate your dances. Yeah, we do them all the time.
Yes, looking forward to it.
Awesome. We're going to move on to a segment that we call Spotlight on Love.
Ooh.
All right. Now, you guys are first time guests on our podcast. We do this segment we call Spotlight on Love, where one of our listeners writes in and asks a question of us and our guests where they want relationship, family, dating advice. And then we and our guests give our unqualified advice. So, today we have, it's an anonymous person. They want to remain anonymous. And they said, after a year of being in quarantine together, working from home, pivoting all of the time, I find myself shutting down with my partner. It's like, I think he should be able to read my mind now after all this time. And if he doesn't do things exactly how I want, I lose my patience. How do I keep myself expressing my emotions to my partner without shutting down?
Ooh.
That's tricky. That's a good question.
That is a good question. Guys.
You want us to answer first? Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
You go. If you have an idea.
I mean, I don't know. Kelly is definitely the better communicator in our relationship. But I would say that for me, whenever I'm feeling something like there's a problem in general, I think talking about the general problem instead of trying to fix like if I had the same issue, I would tell Kelly, like, look, sometimes I shut down when you can't read my mind and it's really tough. And just like saying that and like getting it out helps me. I don't know whether that's based in science or good, but instead of like worrying about communicating in the instant that you're getting annoyed, I think having a like preliminary conversation about the issue in general is always beneficial, so the other person understands where you're coming from.
Yeah. That's
good advice.
Yeah, I think that's really good advice. I think for me, I'm not very good at not sharing how I'm feeling. Would you say? I usually share how I'm feeling, like I can't hold it in. So that this question's a little tricky for me, but I think especially a time when you're not feeling impatient to bring it up, because then you're not already worked up about this silly thing. So bringing it up when things are good, just to like start a conversation and to explain where you're coming from, and let them know where you're coming from, so that then they can be aware, and you know, I think asking for what you need is really important.
Great advice.
Yeah, that's really very good advice. I think I need to take that advice. I personally, I'm like the person that has, I have a hard time not confronting, but bringing things up that may be uncomfortable, or maybe asking for things for myself. I think that I still have a hard time doing that. So I think like what you guys have already said is being in a good positive mindset to actually start the conversation. Mm-hmm. And then also, since I'm usually on the receiving end of things being brought up because I don't like to speak my mind a lot of the time,
I'm just being honest.
I think it's important to remember that when your partner is bringing something up, it's not always an attack. It's like an open discussion, and it's not to be, you don't have to take everything so defensively and so personally. I mean, I'm saying this right now, but I don't
know. Steven.
So happy to, I don't know that I believe this, what I'm saying, but yes, you should not take things so personally, and I shouldn't take things so personally.
I don't know if it's like the dance, the years of dance or something, but it's like any conversation is received as a critique.
Yeah.
Like, so I have to constantly be like, I'm not criticizing you. I'm just trying to have a conversation.
Yes, totally.
But I think that the thing about the quarantine that's really hard, as you guys were kind of speaking about, is like, we're all wearing different hats that we didn't have to wear before the quarantine in our relationships. Mm-hmm. Like, because you're just together all the time. You're like, you're now their therapist, best friend, coworker, you know, mm-hmm. like, housekeeper, chef. And I think that's the challenge, right? Is like, which hat are you wearing when you're communicating? How do you distinctly set those boundaries so that it's clear? I don't know if that helps the person who asked this question, but what you were saying is like, you have to be really clear. Sometimes it means leaving the house and coming back as a different person or putting on a different hat.
Is that something you do? Leave the house and come back as a different person? Is that why you went on a walk while I was teaching?
Maybe.
He was like, I'm going for a walk. Maybe. And I'm like, one, two. Like, anyway, sorry.
Anyway, I thought those were some really, really lovely advice. If you, as a listener, want to get advice from us and our guests or unqualified advice, please feel free to shoot us a DM on Instagram at Broadway Husbands, or check out BroadwayHusbands.com where you can shoot us an email, and we will gladly read your question aloud on our next episode.
Okay, so this has been an awesome episode. I want to thank you guys so much for taking the time out of, I'm sure, your extremely busy schedule to talk with us today. We really appreciate it. We're huge fans, and just keep doing what you're doing.
And yes, Freeman, that means you too. We know you're there.
Yeah, you're like killing it. You guys are killing it. Killing it. We love it. We love
super it. Inspired by the work you two do. And where can people follow you and get more information so they can get to know more about you?
Yeah, they can follow on TikTok at Happy Kelly.
Kelly with an I.
Kelly with an I. Happy with a Y, or at Kelodactyl on Instagram. Freeman's also on those platforms.
Do you need to follow me though? It's fine.
But people might need legal advice.
Yeah.
People are going to need legal advice.
If you need a lawyer or someone to look over your influencer contracts, I got you.
Thank you so much for having us. This has been so, so fun. You guys are the best.
Well, oh, we're so happy to get to know you, and we're going to come see you in LA.
Yeah.
We're coming in July.
Okay, great.
So maybe, well, let's see if we can put something in the books where we can hang out and have lunch or something.
Yeah,
please, that would be so amazing. Yay.
Thanks for listening to the Broadway Husbands podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, and while you're at it, leave a review on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on.
Don't forget to check out Broadway Life Apparel and our new designs that are released every month. Thanks to our Patreon patrons. Don't forget to join our family by going to patreon.com/Broadway Husbands.
And a big shout out to the Broadway Podcast Network. Go to bpn.fm/husbands to check out the wide array of Broadway themed podcasts for your listening pleasure. And on this podcast, we encourage you to love who you love
and love what you do.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the SUPs.
A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Suf's celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suf's has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at SufsMusical.com.